Thank you for joining us on the Tower Frequency. My name is Piper Lewis, here at Devil's Tower, courtesy of GeoCore and the Geological Society of America. Today we're going to gain a deeper understanding of the Native American experience and history here at Devil's Tower. Our guests will share their own personal experiences and cultural relationship with the Tower. Today we are joined by
Ida Mae Evans Garrison.
My name is George Reed, Jr.
My name is Dorothy Firecloud. I'm a member of the Rosebud Sioux Tribe in South Dakota, which is culturally affiliated to the Tower. And I was also the first Native superintendent at Devil's Tower from 2006 through the middle of 2012.
My name is Beverly Swift Pony. I'm an interpretive ranger at Devil's Tower National Monument in Wyoming.
Heyo, vikis na neho. Chehehet na tsamahem shimet. Ima vihene vea. Na po ina ta hini na ta toho. Nas na wita statane. My name is Philip Whiteman Jr. in Northern Cheyenne. My father and my grandfather were chief, and today I take on that responsibility and role.
My name is Dotsage Antagema. I was named in a teepee in 1933 in a Native American church meeting by a gentleman named John Eagleheart. It means she comes with beautiful prayers. My English name is Dorothy White Horse DeLong.
There are over 22 tribes who have a connection to the Tower, including the Assiniboine and Sioux of the Fort Peck Reservation in Montana, the Blackfeet, the Blood of Canada, the Confederated Kootenai and Salish tribes of the Flathead Reservation, Montana, the Cheyenne River Lakota, the Crow Creek Lakota, the Eastern Shoshone, the Flandreau-Santee Dakota, the Lower Brule Dakota, the Northern Arapaho, the Northern Cheyenne, the Ogallala Lakota, the Pekani of Canada, the Rosebud Lakota, the Sisteon-Wahpeton Dakota, the Southern Arapaho, the Southern Cheyenne, the Soyuich Lake Lakota, the Standing Rock Lakota, the three affiliated tribes, the Turtle Mountain Chippewa, and the Yankton Dakota, among others. There are many names for the Tower, but most have something to do with bears. The Arapaho call it Bear Teepee, the Crow, Bear Lodge, the Lakota, Bear Lodge, or Grizzly Bear's Lodge, or Mythic Owl Mountain. The Cheyenne named it Bear Teepee, or Bear Lodge, House, or Peak. The Kiowa call it Tree Rock, or Aloft on a Rock. The first mapmakers of Wyoming who spotted the Tower from far off called it Bear Lodge. But when General Custer visited the Tower in 1859 with geological surveyors, they mistranslated the name as Devil's Tower. Custer's account and the book he wrote about this area gained much popularity on the East Coast, and the older map names were ignored for the popularized Devil's Tower. The apostrophe was dropped as a clerical error and never fixed. There are many Native American legends about the Tower. The Lakota legend goes, in the Sioux tribe long ago was a brave warrior who often went alone into the wilderness, where he could fast and worship the Great Spirit in solitude. Being alone helped him to strengthen his courage, so that in the future he could carry out his plans. One day this warrior took his buffalo skull and went along into the wilderness to worship. Standing at the base of Matotipila, after he had worshipped for 2 days, he found himself on top of this high rock. He was very much frightened, as he did not know how he would get down. After appealing to the Great Spirit, he went to sleep. When he awoke, he was very glad to find he was again at the base of this high rock. He saw that he was standing at the door of a bear's lodge, as there were footprints of a very big bear there. He could tell that the cracks in the big rock were made by the bear's claws, so he knew that all the time he had been on top of this rock, he had been standing on a big bear's lodge. From this time on, his nation called this big high rock Mato Tipila, and they went there often to worship. The buffalo skull is still on top of this big high rock, and can be seen on the highest point. This legend told to Dick Stone by Short Bull, who lived a short distance west of Ogallala, South Dakota, on July 31, 1932. Mark Running Eagle, interpreter. George Reed Jr. shares the Crow legend about the tower.
It was during a time when we moved about the plains following the mighty bison herds, and it was a time when we were camped near the Big Saddle in the Black Hills. And children would play. One would pretend to be a bear, and they would chase the other children. And so they would take turns playing bear. And there were two sisters, and the older sister would always refuse to be a bear. And finally, one day, they coaxed her. They said, "It's your turn to be a bear." So she said, "Okay, I'll be a bear." But she told her little sister when she becomes a bear that she should hide. The little sister hid. And the bear, her sister that turned into a bear, killed all the children and their parents. And she went up, she called her sister and said, "It's over, you can come out now." And the little sister came out, she was afraid. She was told to go after a lodge, a teepee, and so she went after a teepee, and they put up the teepee, and she was told to gather wood. And so she went and gathered wood, and they built a fire. And then she was told to go after some water, go to the stream and fetch some water. And she went down to the stream, and she was so afraid, she was crying. And six of her brothers were going on a journey, a war journey. And they heard her little sister crying. And they said, "That's one of our sisters, little sisters crying." So they went back, and they crossed the stream, and there she was crying. And they asked her, "Why are you crying?" She said, "We play pretending to be a bear. My sister would never want to play a bear, be a bear." So she finally decided to play bear, and she told me that if she tend to be a bear, she would be a real bear, and that I should hide. And so I hid. And then she killed all the parents and all the children. And then she said, "It's over now, you could come out." So I came out, and she told me to get a lodge. And so I went and got a lodge, and we put it up, and she told me to get some wood. I went and gathered wood and started a fire. I came to fetch water, and I cried because I was afraid, and then you heard me. So the brother said, "You go back and you gather some branches off a plum tree and strew it along the way around the path. And you go and hit her on the shin and run." It's an expression that, you know, she's got challenge. When you challenge someone to hit her on the shin, that expression, "Machoop dai dik shidi." So the little girl went back and to her sister, and she gathered plum branches and strewed them along the way, and she went and hit her sister on the shin and ran. And she ran around those plum branches, and the bear ran through the branches, and they would stick to her toes or foot, and she would stop and pick out the thorns. And the brother said, "We'll wait for you at that boulder." So she ran to their brothers, and by the time the bear came through those plum branches, she had reached that boulder, and they helped her on top of the boulder. And as the bear was coming, they said, "Jump." And they jumped, and the boulder grew taller. And when the bear reached the boulder, they said, "Let's jump again." They jumped again, and they were out of reach of the bear. And she tried hard to climb that boulder, but she would fall back. She had those claw marks all around the boulder. And she said, it's over. It's done. Come on down. You can come down now. It's over. I'm done." About that time, that boulder parted. And they said, "If you go in that boulder, we'll come down." So she went in the boulder, and that boulder came together, and she's encased, entombed in that boulder. And she was crying, hollering, screaming, and the siblings said, "What shall we do?" And the little sister said, "Well, let's go be a place where they offer the pipe. Let's be the seven stars. Let's be the Big Dipper." So they went into the sky and became the seven stars, the Big Dipper, the place where they offer the pipe to when they're in prayer. But they say every now and then they come and visit their sibling who's there in that grizzly bear lodge.
Dorothy Whitehorse DeLon shares the Kiowa legend about Devil's Tower that she was told by her grandmother.
These girls were playing. There were seven of them. There's different versions of that. Every tribe has a different version. But they came upon Devil's Tower. I mean, they didn't know they were at that area. But that was one of their places to stop. And there were eight sisters. Now, some people will say it was seven sisters and a boy. But the way I learned the story, the way my grandmother told it, there were seven girls. They were playing, and like we did when we were growing up, we'd say, come on, let's play tag. They'd say, Emko, Beyayom, come on, please come. You be the chaser, you know, you chase us. And this one particular sister would say, Hane, no, no. I guess inside she had medicine, and they didn't know it. Honey, and they'd say, come on. And she said, no, 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 no. And they kept badgering her. So finally she told them, okay. And they were playing tag. She said, I told y'all, but they the Nahonbet Ohad. I've been telling you and you won't listen. I warned you, but they the Babo they the I've told you and you won't listen. Now something's going to happen. As she was chasing them, she started sprouting hair. And the more, you know, they didn't notice it yet. And then she looked down and she had claws. And then it turned into a grizzly bear. And by that time, the scene had changed completely. She was running after them to catch them. And out of just in that tree, in that bunch of trees, a voice came up in Kiowa. They said, it said, Iho ba'a, ba'a, come here. I'll help you, come on. And so as they were running, there was a tree stump, and then there was a big rock, and the rock said, come here, and I'm going to help you. But kope aga yikya, run around the rock four times. And then shoot an arrow up into the sky. So they shot. They were screaming, and the bear was coming behind them, and they jumped on this rock, and it started to grow. And by the time the bear got there, they were above his level, and it just kept growing. And monem kai gunma, it was jumping and scratching the part trying to get to them. And the claw marks were coming down more prominent. And they were screeching, and they knew that was their sister, but it was not the same being anymore. And they were so scared, and the rock just took them straight on up with the last arrow shot up to the Milky Way, is what my people say, or the Big Dipper. And they say, when you pray, look up there. That's how I grew up. When you see those stars up there, that's those seven sisters. So I grew up hearing that, the seven sisters.
Philip Whiteman shares the Northern Cheyenne legend about the tower.
And this story about this rock, there was a young couple living near the water. And early in the morning, that lady would go down to fetch water. She'd be gone for a long time. Finally, the husband went and looked for her. She would walk into the water, and a serpent would come out of the water, and she would fall under the serpent's spell. The warrior took a bow and arrow, and he shot an arrow into that serpent. And later he took food back to his children, daughter and son. He fed them, and there was enough food there to last a while. He said that he was going to go and leave them. The young boy and daughter, they stayed around the camp for days. Father never did come back. They ate up all the food, and then they started kind of wandering around and going a little bit further than normal. They heard some rumbling, something coming. So they ran up on a little rock, and here comes a bear. Cheyennes call him Nahko. It's a mother. Nahko, grandmother. And here that bear started going to that rock, and them children were hovered, sitting on that rock, and they were afraid. Here that bear started clawing that rock. Each time those children were crying out for help, each time that bear clonked that rock grew, that bear went all the way around and that rock started growing and growing. That time bear had long tail. The creator, the spirits, shot lightning down and cut the tail off of that bear and reminded that bear that the bear is a mother, and mother, they protect.
Dorothy Firecloud shares her favorite Lakota legend.
The story which I like to share is that of the White Buffalo Calf Woman. The Lakota people had been camped in the area there along the base of the tower, and they had sent out a couple of scouts to see if they could find any buffalo or any other kind of animal, as that year had a lot of drought and there weren't any animals around. And so the two scouts had gone out for that purpose. As they were walking along, they saw this beautiful woman approaching them. One of the scouts saw how beautiful she was, so he lusted after her as wanting his wife. And the other scout recognized that she was a spirit, you know, coming to help them. And as she got closer, they began to visit with her, and she told them she was going to come back in 4 days, that they needed to go back to the tribe and to explain to the tribe that she would be coming in 4 days and that they needed to prepare. So the one that kept lusting after her, then she called him aside, and they were covered like in a fog, and so the other scout wasn't able to see what was happening. As the cloud dissipated, then he saw that other scout had been turned to a pile of bones at her feet. So then she told him, now go back, tell your people to be ready in the 4 days. So he went back to the tribe, told them what had happened, and so they prepared for her arrival on the fourth day. On the fourth day, she arrived and she brought to them the bundle, which is the sacred pipe, and she taught them the seven different ceremonies that go along with that pipe. And as she left, you know, she told them, ceremonies and these prayers will help you. As she left, she walked away, she turned into a buffalo again, and she became first the black buffalo, then the red buffalo, then the yellow buffalo, and as she did it for the last time, she became a white buffalo. And that's the story that we have of the White Buffalo Calf Woman and how the pipe was given to the Lakota people. And today, Arvo Looking Horse is the keeper of that sacred bundle, and he lives up on the Cheyenne River Indian Reservation. When I was there as the superintendent, it was really good to have him come over and participate in a lot of our meetings to ensure that we were doing things properly.
The tower has long been a place of spiritual connection and prayer. Visitors to the tower will see personal prayers in the prayer offerings, bundles, and cloths attached to trees around the tower. The tower is also a location for sweat lodges, vision quests, and in the past, funerals.
When people come to visit, come to the tower as they would when they enter a church because of the significance of the place to Native people. You know, a lot of the times people will walk around the tower there, and you're going to see the prayer ties, because that's where we go to offer a lot of the prayer ties. The prayer ties are similar to the rosary. As we make our prayer ties, we have a lot of prayer cloths spread out, and each one represents a prayer as we're going along. We fill them with the tobacco, and we tie them up, and all of our prayers are contained within those tobacco ties. And we place them at places that will get the message to whom we need to get it to. So when you go around the tower, you're going to see the different colors of the four directions. Sometimes you'll see green, which represents the earth. Sometimes the blue, which represents the sky. People need to remember that the tower is there somewhat as an altar for the culturally affiliated tribes to do their prayers.
Vision quests are a ceremony of coming of age, to find prophecy and self-understanding, to commune with nature and spirit, one's own spirit guides and ancestors, to find truth and balance and peace. They also help in curing emotional and physical illness, and often include long walks, fasting, and sleep deprivation. The tower is also a place of group prayer. In the summer, near solstice, sacred ceremonies are practiced at the tower. One of these is the sun dance. During the sun dance, young men dance around a pole to which they are fastened. This is accompanied by traditional drum, praying with a pipe, fasting, and sacred fire. The goal is to offer a personal sacrifice as prayer for the benefit of one's family and community. The ceremony lasts over a period of 4 days, most of which have fasting. The sun dance was outlawed in the U.S. in 1904 and was practiced in secret for many years. Dorothy Firecloud shares more about the history between the U.S. government and Native American religion.
When these places, these sacred places, were taken over by the federal government back in the early 1900s, late 1800s, Native people were not allowed to practice their religion. It wasn't until the American Indian Religious Freedom Act was enacted in 1977 that Native people were allowed to practice their religion openly and freely. So a lot of these sites that were trying to get the youth coming back to, Native people were not allowed to go to for ceremonial purposes. Beginning then in the late 1970s and then throughout the 80s is when the tribal people started coming back to these places because they weren't afraid to be arrested. Back in the early 1900s, when the act was done through Congress to ban the practice of Native religions, a lot of it was done like underground or in places that they knew that they wouldn't be caught or seen. So with the passage of the American Indian Religious Freedom Act, then we were able to start going back to these places and to start getting our ceremonies back. That's only like 40 years ago that we've been able to openly practice our ceremonies and our religion.
Sweat lodges also occur during the summer. A sweat lodge is a place of spiritual refuge and mental and physical healing. People often participate in sweat lodges before vision quests and other major rituals. A small, low structure is made, one that completely blocks out light and encloses an area. At the center of this area is a small pit into which hot stones are placed. When the members of the sweat lodge ceremony have been appropriately smudged and purified, they enter the sweat lodge, and offerings, such as tobacco or sweetgrass, are scattered onto the hot stones, upon which water is splashed to generate steam. Sweat lodges can be done in silence or with singing and chanting, depending on the leader's traditions. Gratitude and respect are two of the most important parts of this ritual. Both for sun dance and sweat lodge and many other ceremonies, it is important that the tower as a sacred place be quiet, silent, and unsullied. For this reason, there is a voluntary climbing closure in the month of June when these ceremonies typically take place out of respect for the Native Americans and their disapproval of climbing on the tower. The Native American history, in America as well as Devil's Tower specifically, has not been a pleasant one. Many visitors today go from the tower to Custer State Park to see American buffalo. Once, these buffalo also roamed around the tower and were plentiful. Beverly Swiftpony tells us more about the fate of the buffalo and their importance to Native Americans.
The settlers and the cattlemen who were coming through here were told the only way to totally clear this land out of the Indians was to get rid of their food source, which was the bison. And that's pretty much what they did. They were shooting them from trains. They were shooting them for sport. They were skinning them alive, laying out on the prairie, cutting out their tongues, cutting out their hearts. And that includes the calves, leaving them to lay out there to die. I mean, I can't even imagine the carnage. When I drive and I look out there at those prairies and I try to imagine all of those bodies lying out there, the sound of them crying out, it's just heartbreaking. It was brutal. It was brutal. In combination with all of the other things that were going on, not allowing us to speak our language, you know, putting us in the schools, kidnapping the children, putting them in their little schools to teach them Christianity and not allowed to speak their language, not allowed to have their hair long. It's just, there's so much that I can't even, you can't just put it into a few seconds or minutes. It's outrageous. But as far as the bison, yeah, he's definitely a sign to me, he's American. He is us. He is who we are, because without him, we would have been nothing. He was our food source. He was our homes. He was everything.
Ida Mae Garrison shares about her own experiences in an Indian school.
The first year, that was a terrible time. Here I am, close to home. Grandma down there, she can't do anything. She's an Indian, and she can't go against that white man's word. No way. So every day, that first year of my life, I go down there and look across the Missouri River toward home, and I cried every day and peed in the bed every night for a year, and then it was over. I'm happy wherever I am. Doesn't make any difference. Weren't allowed to speak in Indian. I had these two Chippewa friends, and they spoke their language. And of course, I was their friend, and I was with them when they got caught speaking their native language, and I was punished along with them. Put us in the linen closet. We had bread and water for 5 days, but we had fun in there. We made our fun. We found an old blanket, and we unraveled the big strings out. We learned all kinds of new things, how to make all kinds of new designs of Cat in the Cradle. They had a basketball tournament, and we won the tournament. But because we were Indians, we couldn't get the trophy. Gave it to our loser. We'd say, chicka like a chow chow chow. Boo like a bow wow wow. Chicka like a who are we? Pipestone Indians gold. Yes, sirree!
Dorothy Firecloud shares about her own powerful experiences here at the Tower.
Being a member of the Rosebud Sioux tribe, I had experiences all the time. They were just like small personal experiences. You could feel the power of the place, and I could go out onto part of the park that we reserved for the larger ceremonial activities. You just felt a peace there, finding that peace and knowing that things are going to be okay.
Beverly Swift Pony also experiences the Tower in a profound spiritual way.
It is a very sacred place. It's obvious to a lot of people. Maybe not everyone gets that feel from it, but I think the people that do, they get it. They know what it is. I've had so many people say to me, it just draws you here. It's just like a magnet. That's why people come here from all over the world to see it. It's like nothing on this planet, ever. There's not another one like it anywhere. This is sacred. It's very important to us.
Dorothy Whitehorse Dulon talks about the importance of the Tower to the Kiowa people.
Devil's Tower is the first place any Kiowa goes when they go north. It's just like Mecca. It's a must from every Kiowa I've ever spoken to. Have you ever been to Devil's Tower? Because somehow in our thinking, once you've been there, you're really Kiowa. We had experiences there where the rocks talk to us and these stars are going to be with us for eternity. That's the main place. We have references to everything there. And when I went with my elders, my co-elders, we made sure that we had prayer there, and you have to do it in your lifetime.
George Reed Jr. speaks to how, for the Crow and many other people, it is important that visitors respect the Tower.
A lot of our sacred sites, historical sites, they've been practically destroyed. Respect 4 D's. Don't disturb, don't destroy, don't desecrate, and don't displace. And that's what I advocate.
Devil's Tower is truly a sacred place, one with a long history and connection to its people. It is important that we as visitors treat it with that same respect. As always, my name is Piper Lewis, podcasting the Tower Frequency for you courtesy of GeoCore and the National Park Service. For more information on Devil's Tower, please see our website, www.nps.gov/DETO. Our theme music was composed by Ben Sound and can be found at bensound.com. Thank you for listening.